Hi-de-ho, I'm Uno Clay from Philadelphia, and I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon. In a world torn apart by angry pundits and ceaselessly acerbic news, the cheerful tone of Gen X Grown Up is always a welcome escape, not to mention endlessly entertaining, and sometimes even informative. If you want to support the show too, click on genxgrownup.com/patreon and toss them a couple bucks. It's the guaranteed way to gain the respect of your peers and immediate promotions at work.
Not guaranteed in all 50 states. Some employers may see fit to demote you, and your peers will probably find you weird and distasteful. Results may vary. You are warned.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up podcast listeners, to this, the backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, of course, is Mo. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, John?
You know it would be a show without George. How's it going, George?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You know, most Saturday mornings during our Gen X youth were spent watching cartoons. We've spoken about it several times. One in particular brought our favorite DC heroes and villains to life and left us longing to visit the Hall of Justice. In this backtrack, we remember the classic ABC cartoon series, Super Friends.
Boy, lots to unpack there.
There is a lot to unpack here.
Just buckle in for 4 hours of a podcast at this point.
Right? I will save the secret of just how much there is to unpack until we get into the show proper. First, though, it is time for some fourth listener email. Look, there are three of us. If we listen, that's three. If anybody else chooses to listen to the show, that's our fourth listener. And this time around, the fourth listener is Kevin M., who dropped us a line with the subject, Summertime Toys and Play. One of our backtracks we did, it's been maybe a year or so ago. I forget when that was. It's been a while. Yeah. Here's what Kevin has to say. Just listen to this backtrack. I remember a lot of what y'all covered. I remember middle school and high school playing football and baseball in the street. When friends couldn't play, I would ride my bike back and forth up and down the street. I would also grab the tennis ball and bat and hit the ball down the street and then walk to get it, hit it back. These all sound so familiar.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in the woods, right? And there were no kids in walking distance of me even. So smacking a ball to the back of the property and smacking it back. Yeah, I feel you, Kevin. He says, I remember back in 2000 or so when I was 19 or 20, the singles group from church got together. Someone had a key to the church, so we went into the auditorium, put some music on the speakers, and played Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, wow.
That was some fun trying not to hurt ourselves running and jumping around over the pews.
Pews. What could go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing could go wrong. Right. Well, if it gets above you, just take a hymnal, throw it up, smack it out of the air with the hymnal. Kevin wraps it up by saying, my stepdaughter, who will be 22 in November, had a friend over back when she was in either middle school or high school. They were sitting around on the couch, looked bored, so I mentioned something about going outside, and her friend's response was, outside bad.
What the hell?
Outside bad. I mean,
you know, I mean, they might be right. The way the sun is kicking our ass these days, it could cause cancer in 30 minutes. Who knows?
I get that you're used to being inside, but you could try it. I mean, it would kill you.
Outside bad.
I mean, it might. You don't know.
Maybe so. Okay. Fair enough. He says, keep up the great work. The best fourth listener, Kevin.
Wow. Nice. That's a bold statement, sir.
Come to fisticuffs with the other fourth listeners. Thank you, Kevin.
Guess we'll see if Kevin shows up at SFGE 2024 next year to prove his point.
We're gonna battle of the fourth listeners.
Hey, they have wrestling.
They do.
That feels like a part for that wrestling ring over there. That's what I was thinking.
Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Kevin, thank you for writing in. We love that you did. We love that these memories sparked memories for you in our shows. We love that about it. Listener, if you would like your email featured here on the show, it is drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. Read every single one, and most of them, like Kevin's, will eventually make the show. Meanwhile, back at the Backtrack podcast, we're going to jump in to the convoluted history of the Super Friends right after this.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Meet Super Friends. Superman. Wonder Woman. Aquaman. Batman. Together for the first time, with three new friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog, Super Friends.
Here we go, gents, talking about Super Friends. Now, the Saturday morning cartoon, one of many. I remember this almost my entire childhood. Super Friends in the TV guide or was on the cover or something when it was coming out new. And I learned so much prepping for this podcast, but it was originally adapted from the Justice League of America comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It aired on ABC. It was produced by Hanna-Barbera, a huge producer of cartoons in our youth.
Yeah. Back then, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm probably the only one old enough to actually remember when this happened, the Super Friends, they aired on September 8th in 73, which, again, I was six, man. I was right in that demo to be watching that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it featured like a whole bunch of like the DC characters that we all knew. I mean, all the common ones like Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman. And each one of those, I guess, had their own previous like little animated series produced by Filmation.
They did. Oh, okay. The Filmation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember
yeah,
those.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I guess they also brought the voice talent from those over to the show as well, for the most part. I think there's a couple exceptions, I think, for like Aquaman, a couple others. But mm-hmm. generally, I think they just kind of said, okay, let's like, it's kind of like the Avengers movie now, right? It's like, okay, let's take all these little ones here that are somewhat popular, let's throw them into a single show, and what could go wrong?
Just like in Justice League, it made great sense. If you like these superheroes, bring them together as a team, right? But in cartoon form. Now, I knew vaguely that the names kind of changed over time, like it was called Super Friends, then the mm-hmm. all-new Super Friends Hour. And I just figured maybe that was abbreviations for one thing or the other, but we had prepared this show one way. And then George started really digging into the meat of it and found out that, wow, it changed dramatically over the run of this show.
Yeah, I mean, holy crap. I had no memories of this. Like, I thought it was just like one continuous show that I just even remember fondly.
Me too. You know? Yeah.
But man, let me tell you, the stuff George found, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason for it. So what I decided to do, once I went down the research rabbit hole on this thing, I said, you know, mm-hmm. there's too much to cover every single iteration. So I specifically honed in on the stuff from the 70s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, there's more that I didn't put on the Trello card that goes outside of those decades. However, just to give you an idea, there were six separately titled series from 1973 all the way to 1986, I think. Maybe there's 89. There's a whole bunch of them in there. It might be seven. I don't think this is a comprehensive list, but we'll get into that in a little while. So Super Friends, the original mm-hmm. title, 73-74. All new Super Friends Hour, 77-78. Why so many years in between? Reruns, ladies and gentlemen. The great friend to every cartoon in the 70s.
Ran them again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Challenge of the Super Friends, which is a really weird thing. 79 or 78-79. Super Friends again, 80-83. Super Friends Legendary Superpower Show, 84-85. Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians, 85.
Whatever.
So many
Holy
of these
cow.
Things.
Wow.
It's crazy. Now, Mo, you said you didn't remember all of these different titles.
No.
There's a reason for that. Mm. A lot of these shows had their original episodes split apart into the different segments, and different segments were then placed on top of the newer shows and rebroadcast in syndication, some with the old title cards on the screen, some with the new title cards on the screen.
Cow.
So that's why it's so difficult to really go through and say, okay, episode one of season two is this. Well, yeah, but it's also episode 32, segment really? 4 from season 1.
Crazy.
Now, in your research, I'm curious, is there anything that was constant? Like, was Superman always there, or was Batman always there, or was it super rotational?
So there are constants throughout the run of the series. Superman is always there.
Okay.
Batman is always there. Robin is always there.
Okay.
Some of the other characters, like Aquaman, drops out for a season, which is interesting.
So that core is there, but...
Yeah. Wonder Woman, she changes characters. It's not the first Wonder Woman, it's the second Wonder Woman. So
really
the Wonder Girl who becomes Wonder Woman, it's a comic book thing. That's how comic book things go. Like Robin, Dick Grayson eventually becomes Batman, right? That same kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So there are evolutions of characters. I'm not even going to begin in this segment talking about the damn villains, because holy hell, was that a nightmare to figure out. Originally, we talked about splitting this up into, you know, like this segment, heroes, villains, and then we talk about our favorite things.
See, that makes sense.
There was no way to do that because if you tried to highlight or just talk about villains, even if you just talked about like two from each series, there's 57 villains to go through. It's ridiculous.
That's a lot of villains.
It sounds like Super Friends could just be a podcast. I mean, like a series. There's something to talk about over the years.
There's not one out there. There probably is, and we're infringing on their territory. I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't think we're going to blow them out of the water or anything. They'll be fine.
They did have some other common elements, though. One thing, and I think Mo noted this, they always had a PSA.
Yeah, of some sort.
Somewhere in the episode, you know, a thing that we found a lot in 80s cartoons, really, like the more you know from the G.I. Joe stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. They did it in a slightly different way. One thing that I found that was fun and interesting in one series in particular, instead of the PSAs, they did these little segments in between the main segments. Like where they did this decoder thing, John used to love and still love old time radio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
how
the radio show would say, "All right, kids, get out your secret decoder ring.
Get out your Lone Ranger decoder ring because here's the secret code." Yeah, of course.
Here comes Ovaltine, right?
Right, exactly right. Yep.
What they did was they had these little segments that Superman would come down and he would tell the kids, "Okay, the first code word is how much these balloon rides cost," and it would say free.
Right.
And then later on, he would do another segment and he would say, "Okay, the second is that thing in the tree," and it was a little bird singing, and the little boy would go, "You mean bird?" And John had to
free bird. Free bird.
Get the lighter out.
But then he would go, "No, what is the bird doing? Singing."
All right.
Free sing. And then the third segment. And because the main segment of that episode was about the whole Earth being frozen because of some alien race wanting to freeze Earth.
So it's a word associated with the episode we're in the midst of or taking a break from to play a little.
Yeah.
It's like you're flipping through Super Friends Highlights magazine. Here's a project. Mm-hmm. Here's a little experiment. Here's a dot to connect the dots.
Like they had a magic segment where, like, you know, how can I make this board break by just using newspaper and stuff like that? They do little things that were magic, but they were science experiment kind of stuff that kids could do. It's a very interesting way that they handled that stuff.
And I know that wasn't all of the, I guess I'll call them the Super Friends series. They didn't always do that, but when they did it, like I remembered those very fondly, because when I went back and rewatched some episodes and I jumped around and watched a couple here and there from different years, when they had those, like when they repurposed episodes and chopped them up and put those little interstitials, it was like a variety show. It was almost like the Super Friends were hosting a show about the Super Friends, and you'd have this, like the beginning would be, in this episode of the Super Friends, they're going to fight this guy, and then the Wonder Twins will go on an adventure, and then you'll see this. Stay tuned. It's like, and like Batman was telling you the story of what was going to happen. It was like watching Sonny and Cher variety show, but really you were watching the Super Friends variety show, and they were hosting their own show, and it made it feel like they were welcoming you into the show instead of just being the stars of the show. It was kind of cool, I thought.
Yeah, they did a lot of things to, obviously, to gear toward children. That's their target audience. And they did a good job of pulling you in to what I can see that in today's light, some of the storylines would be very formulaic or very simple, worth your time to watch. But when you're a child in the 70s, these things were totally engrossing. And honestly, some of them were fairly well written. They were definitely well voice acted. They were a little heavy handed in some places, I'll say, with the voice acting.
Yeah.
You know, the John voice where Hall of Justice, that's not like a they did that for real.
Podcast.
So what I think we were going to plan to do here is we're going to try to run through all of the separate series of Super Friends chronologically, while also trying to give you an overarching picture of what the series was like, while also trying to not go off the rails and make a 10-hour show. We have our work cut out for us. So when we get back, we're going to start at the beginning in the 70s, getting going with the first series, which was titled, appropriately enough, Super Friends. Did I get that right? That's the first one, right?
For the first one. That's correct.
Okay, good. It could be anything. I don't know. All right, stick around. I'll be right back.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Superman, Batman and Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and the Wonder Twins, Zan and Gina, with their space monkey, Bleak. Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Weekdays at 5 p.m. on TV 19.
Man, I gotta tell you how excited I was when this show first came out, because I still remember it. Because remember they used to do like the Friday night preview of the Saturday morning cartoons?
Of what cartoons are coming out?
For the new season. And this was like huge highlight on ABC. I mean, this was like their marquee show that they were putting out now, because Super Friends, all the great superheroes. And I was just beside myself waiting for this show to come out.
So their headquarters, at least this is fairly stable, I think, unless George's researcher told me otherwise, was the Hall of Justice.
Yes.
And it's an iconic building. It's like this, like almost like a Roman thing with columns and this
like
big
arch kind of thing, and a weird sculpture in the front.
Yeah. Did you guys know that's a real building?
No, really?
Yeah. So it turns out when they started production for this, they assigned the task of designing it to this guy that worked for Hanna-Barbera, Al Muir, who was a background supervisor.
Okay.
But he also had a knowledge about architecture. So Muir apparently modeled the fortress after the Art Deco Union Terminal in Cincinnati, Ohio, that used to be a train station. And now it's a museum.
I'm going to have to look that up now. That's pretty cool.
It's cool. Yeah, I'll give you a link to it. And you look at it, you're like, unmistakably, that's the Hall of Justice, without a doubt. And it's a shame that it's a museum, but it's a train museum. It's a shame it's not like a Super Friends museum or Hanna-Barbera museum is what it ought to be.
They even mention it there. They probably don't even mention it.
They have a plaque somewhere, don't they? I would think. All right, so we have the first Super Friends series, the ones that we're all excited about to first come out. Title Super Friends started in 73.
Yeah, so originally there were 16 one-hour episodes, and they originally aired from September 8th to December 22nd of 1973, so in that fall time slot.
Mm-hmm.
John, you talked about the Hall of Justice. We'll get into it later. Believe it or not, there were multiple designs of the Hall of Justice happened later on.
I don't remember any other design. Okay.
No,
well, you probably didn't watch some of the 80s series because you would have been in high school, and that would have been childish to you. Anyway. But the one thing that didn't change was the list of heroes, for the most part, I say. So this original list of heroes, maybe the voice actors changed, but The core group stayed the same, save a couple. Superman, played by Danny Dark. Batman, played by Olan Sule. Robin, love this, played by the Casey Kasem of your top 40 radio show.
I can't get over that.
Right? Wonder Woman, played by somebody named Shannon Farnon. And Aquaman, who was played by Norman Alden. Mo, you know how earlier you talked about some of the voice talent didn't make it over from the Filmation?
Yeah.
Aquaman was the casualty on that list. His voice actor in the Filmation stuff was not allowed to come over into the Super Friends ABC stuff.
Can't forget the most important hero of all of the Super Friends, which is the announcer, Ted Knight of Mary Tyler Moore fame.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Okay, Lou. Well, so that
the
deep
reason
voice,
why you can forget him is because they forget about him in the very next series. But we'll get to that.
He wasn't there forever. He's indelibly merged with this series in my brain, and he didn't even
That's
stay.
That's whose voice I have in my head.
Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice.
Right. Yeah, you've conflated that it's his voice doing all of that. It never was.
Really?
Well, like
it's
he does
all Ted
Knight
in my brain.
That's
Holy
it.
Crap. Yeah. I had no idea.
Wow. Let me tell you, of all those heroes, Aquaman never seemed to fit.
I agree.
I mean,
like, and I think some of these adventures, they purposely kind of move them towards water just so Aquaman has something to do.
So he could talk to fish to help out with one little task.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he did every time. Like the one that I pick later on for my favorite episode, they're on an alien planet. So he talks to the alien fish in this small little pond that apparently has every fish known to that alien race in it.
And of course, his ability to talk to fish works on alien fish too. Why wouldn't it?
Walks on anything. Yeah. There's no language barriers when you're talking about fish telepathy, apparently.
Apparently not. I mean, so when you look at the superheroes, the other thing that was really bizarre with the sidekicks, like, never really understood them, but they were there.
I mean, like, Robin is Batman's sidekick, but
right, but
not
they
him?
Had these other, they had these random children that they had Wendy Harris, right?
And Wonder Dog and some, like, shaggy
Marvin
looking guy.
White.
That's right.
And
Marvin.
Wonder Dog. Why these teenagers were there? Why were they constantly put in danger? Why were they, who have no superpowers at
Are
all?
Are they somebody?
I can
nephew
tell.
And niece?
So I'll tell you exactly why they were there, because I know.
All right.
So they were brought into the series, and they were there to be superheroes in training, and they were specifically brought onto the show because Casey Kasem, who had also done Shaggy in Scooby-Doo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He had mentioned to one of the producers, wouldn't it be a great idea to have a Shaggy, Scooby kind of a detective group in this series?
In that first series,
they were trying to bring that kind of a feeling into it. Mm. Plus, they thought that those kids would be more relatable to the young people in the audience who would say, I can be part of the Justice League.
What is a superhero in training? Like you're waiting until you get your powers or something?
Well, you know, Robin didn't step into the tights right away. It took him about a year to get trained.
That's
by
a good
Batman.
Point. Batman also no superpowers. Okay, maybe they're training to be that.
Well, he's rich, right? That's his power.
Right. His power.
But of course, the dog did talk and was pretty smart. Mm-hmm. So I guess he's a super dog.
He's a super dog. Doesn't make him super.
Yeah. You know, on the villain side, like I talked about in the previous segment, in this particular edition of Super Friends, there were none of the DC comic book villains that you think of today.
Like
no Lex Luthor kind of stuff.
Wow.
None of those Cheetah or Bizarro Superman. That wasn't in this. These were just random people that they created specifically for the show to tell a particular story. So if you wanted to tell a story about freezing the world, Mr. Freeze guy or something like that, even though there was a Mr. Freeze in DC.
Right.
So they didn't have the comic book guys in the first series. Now, why John has a contorted look on his face is because they took some of the segments from this first season.
Yeah, I'm so confused because I remember all them
other seasons where you did have those types of villains.
Weird. I cannot believe I'd have bet you money that right away and always they're not, maybe not every episode, but every series, every season had, you know, the supervillains and to find out, it's like one of those Mandela effect things. Like you find out the truth about something you remembered and it's totally different. And what did you say? Like 16 episodes, 1 hour episodes. That's not much. And they reran it for years.
They did. Yeah.
They wrapped it up August of 1974 and then they canceled it and they ran reruns in the fall of 74. and continue to run them for three more damn years like that with no new content.
Yeah. And that's not even including the breakup for syndication stuff.
Oh,
I know. That's just in the hiatus between the two, and they just kept running it. Remember we were talking about Hong Kong Phooey or something, and we're like, there's got to be 10 seasons, and there's like 20 episodes of the whole show.
Right.
Because as kids, we didn't sit down and watch it on a schedule. We just caught what we caught on Saturday, and it felt new to us.
I love that you use the term, we caught it on Saturday, because here's another thing to throw into your memory bank.
Oh, God, no.
Uh-oh.
They didn't always air on Saturday.
What?
Some of the broken up parts were aired after school on the weekdays as well.
Oh, okay, I could maybe see that.
I don't remember
seeing it, but it makes sense. Like, okay.
Right, and you might not have, because it might not have been that way in your particular part of the country, because this was syndication. It was sold to individual TV stations if they needed to fill their afternoon block, right?
All
right. We need to move on, because as to John's point earlier, we can't make this thing an hour. We're only on to series number two of the 70s, ladies
and
gentlemen.
We're not even in the damn 80s yet.
This one is the all-new Super Friends Hour, 77 to 78, originally 15, again, one-hour episodes, this time from September 10th, 1977 to September 2nd, 1978. So they went the full year, but it was, they were trying
but
to capitalize.
Did 15 episodes in a year? That's lazy.
They only did 15 episodes because they would repeat them a lot, break up segments, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The reason why they brought this series back, remember they canceled it. They brought this one back because, John, one of your favorite shows was super popular on TV at that time, The $6 Million Man, and there was a Wonder Woman show.
Oh, the Wonder Woman, that was super popular too, actually, wasn't it?
Yep.
So because those were so popular, they said, hey, let's bring back the Super Friends and cash in on that nighttime, primetime drama stuff by doing the Saturday morning stuff new for kids. So, yeah, it was, they did a whole new rebrand. The format was changed. First was a hero team-up story. Then they moved into a new group. The second part of the format was the Wonder Twins. You guys remember them? Form of icicle.
Yeah, form of a bucket of water.
Yeah.
Zan and Jana or something? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Zan and Jana.
Okay.
So this is the first series where they get introduced along with their monkey Gleek. I love Gleek.
Oh, yeah.
Gleek is awesome. He's got his tail anyway.
Yeah.
Then they would do the primary adventure in the third segment. And then the fourth was a hero with a guest star hero. John, this is where you would get other heroes in there like Hawkman or somebody else that wasn't part of the main hero cast, but they would still get them into the show.
Huh.
Okay.
How? just wedging them in, right? Just they give them a spot.
In that fourth segment, fourth segment was its own little story, and they would just be paired with one of the regular cast superheroes.
It's just like a special guest, Don Knotts or whatever, or some other character or something you brought in.
It would be different, you know, superhero characters. Like I said,
Hawkman. Not like a celebrity like Scooby-Doo did.
The Flash, those guys would appear.
The Flash,
so they were folding in other DC heroes that hadn't previously been on the thing. I got to tell you a really quick anecdote. I remember I had a love-hate relationship with the Wonder Twins. I thought it was hilarious because one of them could become some form of water, ice, or gas or something, right? So some form of water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I think the girl could become an animal. And it was always complimentary. Like maybe one would become an ice spear. They would become a gorilla and knock down a wall with the ice spear. And so
that was in my episode.
Was it? Yeah, okay. So my buddy and I would always act like we were the Wonder Twins, but we were messing with each other. And so we would always just do the same thing. Like I would go shape of a gorilla and I would go form of an ice gorilla. Like, not complimentary, completely the same thing, so it wouldn't work out. But remember how they traveled?
Yes. She would turn into a hawk.
And he would be water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the bucket would just magically appear somehow.
Where'd the bucket come from? They're just stealing buckets from wherever they happen to be. Anyway, Wonder Twins. Okay. All right. But the heroes shifted a little bit as we went into the 77-78 series, right? So you said Superman
you still have Superman, Danny Dark. You have Batman, Olin Soley. You have Robin as Casey Kasem, Wonder Woman, Shannon Farron, Aquaman, Norman Allen. All those are the same. They don't change. The addition is the Wonder Twins, which we just talked about.
All right.
They're played, Zan is Michael Bell. Jaina was Louise Williams. By the way, Jaina doesn't always stay Louise Williams. We'll get into that later.
Okay.
Zan also did the little sounds for Gleek.
Okay.
Little chirping.
Whatever
he did. Gotcha.
But John, the big change, Ted Knight was no longer the announcer in this one. It was a guy named Bill Woodson from then and forward.
Go to hell, Bill Woodson. I guess he was close enough because I didn't realize the difference. And I always remember those ones where it's Ted Knight. And it's almost Woodson must have been doing like a Ted Knight impression because I didn't catch it, especially as a kid.
I would imagine that they told whoever was going to be in the announcer for the series that year, hey, do it like this.
Do it like that. Right.
This is what, you know, we want you to be like. Now, I talked about multiple times already, these 15-hour long shows were cut into half-hour installments for local syndication in the 80s. Some of them were included in Superman Batman Adventures, which was a USA Network thing in the 90s. They have been all over the place. They've been on Cartoon Network, Boomerang. It's ridiculous. They've even went into the 2000s in some cases with some of these segments being re-aired and done and whatnot. It's crazy. But yeah, they never seem to die.
Wow.
Well, good thing they didn't change the format after this.
Oh,
right.
Well,
hold your beer.
All right. So now we're into the third series, and the third series is very difficult to understand. It's called Challenge of the Super Friends, but only in the second segment of the series. The first segment of the series was still the all-new Super Friends Hour stuff.
Reruns, right?
What? With an extra 7-minute segment added onto the front of them.
But they were just reruns of the other episodes, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. Then they got to Challenge of the Super Friends in the second segment, which did 16 one-hour brand-new episodes from September 9th to December 23rd of 1978. Mm-hmm. And this is finally where John gets his villains.
Oh. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Originally, they were going to call it Battle of the Super Friends, and they were going to introduce Captain Marvel. You guys know Captain Marvel now from the Marvel movies,
now
right?
Now we do, yeah.
The group that was going to be the evil villains was called the League of Evil.
Oh, you know, from, the Evil League from, of Evil.
Evil League of Evil, exactly, right?
Dr. Horrible, right.
It was going to be led by Captain Marvel's nemesis, Dr. Sivana, Filmation, who produced Shazam and The New Adventures of Batman, prevented the use of a lot of characters that would have been needed for those stories,
like
Mr. Adam, King Kull, Beautitia, Sivana, the Joker, Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Catwoman, all these people.
All the rogues gallery, holy
that
cow.
Would have been in the story, so they said, fuck it, we got to do our own thing.
This is like that Marvel-Sony problem, like where Marvel sold off a bunch of rights and now they're wanting them back because now they're making money with them. They're like, wait, we need X-Men back. We need Super Spider-Man back, right?
Exactly.
Oh, so they started pulling those situation. People in, but couldn't. So from your notes, I can now, because it all seemed the same to me, Superman was still Danny Dark, Batman was still Alan Soule, and Robin was still Casey Kasem. Even Wonder Woman was the same, but Aquaman changed now to Bill Calloway, and they introduced Green Lantern, who I guess now in hindsight, he wasn't always around, Michael Rye, Hawkman, of course, and The Flash, both of those done by Jack Angel. So this was the expansion of the Super Friends to where we had our core for, I guess, really only 2 years, but effectively for 5 years because that's reruns so much. But they started, I guess they couldn't get all the villains they wanted. So they said, what do we got? What do we add in stock? Just sell what's on the shelf. We got these guys, right?
Yeah. What was really horrible, though, during this time is, and this was, you saw this everywhere in the late 70s, early 80s. They were trying to add diversity to the Super Friends.
Yep.
And I know that there were real heroes they could have used, possibly, but instead they made up these so contrived heroes.
Wait a minute. You just blew my mind. Are you telling me that these very ethnic Super Friends were not already DC superheroes? They were made up for Super Friends?
No, they were not. They were made up for Super Friends.
I had no idea. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
100%.
So you got Black Vulcan, which is... Why was he just not Vulcan? I don't know.
No, he was actually a model off of Black Lightning.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, really?
I guess they couldn't use that, I guess.
Why you can't use Black Lightning, I have no idea.
I have no idea. But... Lightning's offensive. Apache Chief. I mean, come on.
Did he just get bigger? He just got bigger and smaller.
Yeah, he did,
right?
Yeah.
Which is like Samurai, who spoke with the worst Asian accent.
Oh, it was terrible.
I have ever heard. El Dorado, who also spoke with a Spanish accent.
Yeah, he was Swedish.
Bork, bork, bork.
and Rima the Jungle Girl. I mean, it was so blatantly. I mean, again, and the thing is that there were comic book heroes that they could have used, like real.
That they could have used, right?
You know, so why they had to go and go like way out of left field and create these obvious characters is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really a poor choice. In today's culture, that show would be canceled before it aired. It would never happen. And rightfully so. Although, as a child, I remember Apache Chief being one of my favorite characters on the show.
Me too.
I didn't know the difference.
Yeah, the fact that he just grew and he was this badass.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Now, for the villains, John, remember I talked about we were supposed to get the head villains that would have been Captain Marvel. We didn't get that.
Right,
so what we did get is the thing that most people associate with the Super Friends cartoon, and that's Lex Luthor, including his swamp lair, the Hall of Doom, the little flying
that
skull
rose out of
thing.
The swamp.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It was Slaughter Swamp is where it was.
There you go.
Is that really? I had no idea.
Yes. Yeah.
So the villains out of the Legion of Doom, which, by the way, is where the famous wrestling tag team got their name from this cartoon.
I figured as much. Okay. Made sense. Yeah.
Lex Luthor, played by Stanley Jones. Solomon Grundy, played by Jimmy Weldon.
Oh, yeah.
Sinestro, played by two different people, Vic Perrin and Don Messick later on. Black Manta, who is a villain, not a hero, different guy, played by Ted Cassidy.
Cheetah. Oh, that's Lurch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
The Cheetah, who was the same character we saw in the second DC Wonder Woman film, Wonder Woman 84.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Played by Marlene Aragon. Gigante, Ruth Foreman. The Scarecrow, Don Messick again.
I remember
him. Toyman, Frank Welker ends up doing a crazy ton of work on this series later on. Riddler, Michael Bell. Bizarro Superman, played by Bill Calloway. Brainiac, Ted Cassidy, once again.
Yep.
Captain Cold by Dick Ryle. And Gorilla Grodd, played by Stanley Ralph Ross. And they had to use his middle name because people were confusing him with the Marvel General, who was like the antagonist of the Hulk.
Stanley Ross? Aha. Uh-huh.
Nice. Yes.
So it wasn't until this series when they actually brought in all of these actual super villains. Before that, it was just, like you said, enemy of the week. Huh.
And this is the only series they did them in.
And they went like way out of the way to make sure there was like a one-to-one hero to villain thing. You know, Lex Luthor, that was Superman. You know, Grundy was this person. You know, it was pretty obvious what they were doing there, too. So you think the villains would get extra people?
They need it.
It was really weird. The thing that throws most people off, threw me off for sure, this is the only time we get that cast of villains.
Really?
Really?
No other series do we get that cast of villains.
I seem to remember
unless
that.
Unless you're talking about a recut that was re-aired with something else.
Jeez.
Huh. No idea. All right. So move into the last series of shows in the series of shows in the 70s, at least. We're trying to break this up. We'll do the 80s in the next segment. But basically, so then it was the world's greatest Super Friends.
As opposed to the world's...
Not the shitty ones we've had so far, but now we have the good
crappy ones.
Right. So this was a huge change to the structure of the shows. So 8 30-minute episodes starting September 22nd of 79 through September 27th of 1980. And this one, like, it relied heavily on not so much the supervillains, like you said, but like fantasy enemies and fantasy characters and scenarios instead of supervillains.
Yeah. I mean, so you have them basically talking about, they borrowed from contemporary politics. There was a main villain, Kareem Azar. He was in this episode, Rub Three Times for Disaster, which was almost, he was almost a carbon copy of the Iranian religious leader, Ayatollah Khomeini.
Oh, really? Ayatollah Khomeini? Holy cow.
Yeah. They basically modeled that character after him. There were, there was one episode where they all go back in time to King Arthur times. There's all this different stuff. Ridiculous stuff. The heroes, though, so to run through them real quick. Superman again, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, still Bill Calloway again, the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina and Gleek. So we lose the expanded list with Green Lantern and Hawkman and those guys. And we just have those nine again. yeah.
I wonder why they opted to not carry on. Like, and you had the expansion. You just talked, Mo, about the artificial, like, ethnic diversity.
Yeah.
And they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a bad idea. They got rid of those people.
They get rid
of
them.
Went back to the core plus the sidekicks, which is
yeah. I mean, they used some of those episodes still in syndication. So you would still see mm-hmm. these two different series. Remember, I said this was the second part of this season. The yep. first part was reruns of the previous season, all recut with things added and stuff. So you still saw those guys on Saturday morning. You still saw Apache Chief. You still saw, you know, Samurai, but they weren't part of this particular run.
Strange.
As they're merged together, you get the impression like, oh, we saw him last year and 2 years ago, and he's mm-hmm. still here. Not because he's still included. It's because they're recycling and recycling yeah. and stitching on those, the jokes and the guess what the bird is saying and all the magic yeah. tricks and crap that fleshed it out and made it, I guess, like a, almost like a totally different show as a kid watching it. So I guess that's why I didn't think it was repeats. It just felt new because I didn't remember them in that sequence or something. Huh. All right. So we've made it through half, maybe-ish, of the Super Friends.
Eh.
We get back. We're going to tackle the 80s with the next series, which surprisingly is called Super Friends again. Go figure. Oh, geez. We'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo. And for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Joining together from remote galaxies are the Legion of Doom, dedicated to the conquest of the universe. Only one group can stand up to this threat, the Super Friends.
You all know what to do. Let's go.
The amazing adventures continue with the challenge of the Super Friends, the complete first season on DVD.
You puny Super Friends are no match for us.
I've got to act fast.
With 16 premiere episodes from the original series, you'll get over 8 hours of content with more sinister plans.
I've always got another ingenious plan up my sleeve.
And more super heroics.
This is a job for Superman.
Meanwhile, back on the DVD filled with extras, take a trip back in time with your favorite heroes in Saturday Sleeping Bags and Super Friends, a retrospective. And the Legion of Doom is in full session with a look at your favorite villainous characters. But never fear, the Hall of Justice has its own character bios. The Challenge of the Super Friends, the complete first season. You can own this DC Comics Classic Collection 2-disc DVD and catch more of your favorite DC superheroes from Warner Home Video.
We made it to our favorite decade, the 80s, and now Super Friends is back in 1980 for a 3-year run, finally. Like, it actually had some staying power, yeah. And it was renamed again Super Friends.
Without the space this time, though.
Right, with no space in the middle. It's intercast.
No space. Yeah.
Right, it's with capital F in the middle. Just to keep things clear, just so there's no confusion, we'll call Super Friends with one fewer spaces. Anyway, but so this series aired 22 30-minute episodes, only 22 episodes over 3 years, mm-hmm. from September of 1980 to October of 83, which, I mean, it's, you see 22 episodes, you're like, that's great, but they're half as long, mm-hmm. and they're stretched out across 3 years. So again, I'm guessing heavily borrowing and recycling from the past here too, yeah?
Yeah, so yeah. What they did, very similar to the first segment of Challenge of the Super Friends season, they completely abandoned the idea of producing a concentric 30-minute episode, even though that's what they aired. What they did was they again took and they produced 7-minute segments that they then like cannibalized with previous episodes, mm-hmm. to run two like different Super Friends. It was crazy. It was very nuts. But they had a writer strike during that time from 81 to 82. So that messed things up.
Oh, right. And yep.
Yeah. I mean, you do get Legion of Doom and those guys again, but again, it's because of re-airing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bringing it back in. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I think I'm getting some like flashbacks here now from seeing this, because I remember now watching these episodes and having to watch the reruns to find the new segment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. New piece.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Like, right. To get to the new stuff, you had to watch the old stuff.
You had to watch the old stuff. And I remember that was like annoying. Like, okay, I've seen this thing like 20 billion times because it's always re-aired. And now I get the new one.
But there's 7 minutes new somewhere.
Yeah, there's a new 7 minutes in there somewhere. Oh my God, that's crazy. And it looks like the heroes were pretty much standard. Like they kept the same set that they had before, right? Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Wonder Twins.
Yeah, this was again Superman through the Wonder Twins. It was that set of heroes. Like I said, the villains were mostly that same Legion of Doom guys, but mainly because you're talking about the same people from the reruns, and that's why you get the same set of both cast of characters. I think the most interesting thing about this one, though, is there's a segment that people are calling the lost episodes of this series. So in total, there were 8 episodes, 24 cartoons that were made but never aired in the U.S. originally.
Really? Oh, really? Okay. Right?
Huh.
The series did, however, appear in its entirety in Australia, of all places.
Good day, mate.
One of these episodes was aired in Super Friends when they went back to Saturday morning ABC television in 83. Remember, I talked about sometimes they were on after school stuff, right? The remainder of the final 7 episodes finally aired in syndication in 1995 as part of the Superman Batman Adventure show on the USA Network that we talked about earlier.
Wow. So nobody saw those for 12 years in the United States.
In the U.S., that's correct.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Oh, anyway, whatever. There's nothing making sense here.
Does anything make... A lot of sense. I mean, I understand the recycling and reusing the footage you already have. And you think about it, the kids who watched this in 73 are not the same kids watching it in 80. So they wouldn't know it's a repeat.
Yeah.
Unless they'd been watching repeats all along because it's new to them, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, Mo said he has memories of that kind of thing. And the odd thing is he could have memories from this 80 to 83 series. He could have memories of that from the 77 to 78 series. They did this throughout all of them.
It's like a manufactured Mandela effect that we were talking about. Like they intentionally made it confusing just to make it look new, I guess, which I understand that. Okay. So the next one, looks like we're off the air for a year. And then we went to Super Friends, the legendary superpower show.
Yeah, I did not watch this. I think I was aging out of this.
I was certainly, I was in junior high or high school by then, I think, right? So this is only 8 30-minute episodes that ran the range from September of 84 through August of 85. And again, kind of a repeat and kind of a little bit of new material.
Back and forth, right? I mean, so this was the first one to have a completely new format since the 79 World Greatest Super Friends. And what I mean by completely new, I mean, they actually produce fucking episodes as opposed to rehashing old shit. Combining
brand new
in.
Material. Okay. Right. So it wasn't so much recycling.
The interesting thing, John, we talked about the superheroes and you said they largely stayed the same. I'm going to run through them real quick because I'm going to get to a name that you're going to all recognize. So Superman, Danny Dark, Batman, Adam fucking West.
Adam West.
In this series.
Of course.
Yes.
So this was 84. He'd not been being Batman for a long time still.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's correct. But holy he's cow. Back. Along with him, you got Robin as Casey Kasem. Wonder Woman now switches over to Kenny Caulfield. That's when I talked about the Wonder Woman change kind of stuff.
Oh,
happening.
Right. Yeah. Different Wonder Woman.
Green Lantern and Apache Chief come back, both being voiced by Michael Rye. Firestorm, who is a new character that has not been in the series yet, voiced by Mark Taylor. Black Vulcan, Mo's favorite character back again, is Buster Jones. Samurai by Jack Angel. El Dorado, Fernando Escandon. Wonder Twins are back. Zan plays Zan and Gleek, both done by Michael Bell. Jaina this time done by BJ Ward.
Oh,
so a different voice actress now for
Jaina. I know that name.
That name sounds familiar, doesn't it?
I think maybe she was the voice of Rocket the Squirrel in Bullwinkle. Is that right? BJ Ward?
Probably. She's a prolific voice actress. I don't know all of her stuff.
I could be totally wrong just off my memory. If that's right, I sound like a genius. If not, it's no big deal.
She's got her own Wikipedia page, so she's probably pretty famous. So
now, there's one notable omission there, though, George. So far, we've had this core, but you didn't mention Aquaman now.
You're right.
Is he gone?
I assume, I don't remember this series, but I assume they were all in the desert this year.
Sorry. He gets the year off because we got no fish.
See, the enemies get tired of drawing water. You know, like, water's too hard.
Drawing water.
But yeah, you're right. Aquaman's not in this list of heroes. Now, the other thing is the list of villains changed dramatically. This is the first time we get Darkseid. Now, Darkseid is this Thanos-style character, but in DC instead of in Marvel.
Oh. Okay, I always thought it was Darkseid. Shows what I know. Oh, well.
Yeah, Darkseid, Darkseid. Everybody will pronounce it their own way.
I'm sure you're right. I had no idea. I've only ever looked at it.
I don't think I am, but people will pronounce it however they like.
That's fine, yeah.
The same character was voiced, so there are several characters. Darkseid, Kalibak, Mr. Mitzelplick, and Dollmaker, by Frank Welker. Remember I talked about him getting a lot of work? There you go. There's another character, Desaad. John, you ready for this name?
Uh-huh.
Rene Auberjonois.
Oh, Odo. Wow, Benson.
Yep.
No, not Benson, Odo.
You see our different generations.
We have came with that from very different angles, but we're both right.
And also in MASH, the original movie.
Right.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You had Brainiac by Stanley Ralph Ross again. Mirror Master by Casey Kasem. So he switched not only doing Picking Robin, he went over to the bad side.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor and a couple of minor characters that were in one episode only, the Robber Baron and Sleeves by a guy named Stan Jones. So you did get little sporadic parts of some of the old villains, like with Lex Luthor and Brainiac, but then you also got this whole new group of cast of characters, which become important in future series in the Super Friends.
Do they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
On purpose, you think, or just coincidentally worked out that way?
I wonder if they didn't introduce them here and then later on said, hey, that was really popular, let's go back to it.
I see.
So, John, while we were talking, I decided to look up the voice actress, the BJ Ward.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
She was not Rocky Bullwinkle. However, she was the main voice for Walt Disney World, like on the tram and on the monorail.
Oh, okay.
That was her. So she basically did like almost all the voice work for Walt Disney World. And she's her credits go like forever. She was she's voice acting everything.
Well, all right. Well, it turns out I'm not a genius. That's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah, but she's still popular. She's still well known.
Glad Mo took time away from the podcast to go show John up.
We should verify that you don't know what you're talking about, John. I've authorized.
Well, I was hoping to give you, I was hoping to say like, wow, John is a genius, but it didn't happen.
That's okay. Hey, I'm editing. I can take all that out. We'll never know.
Sure.
There you go.
I didn't watch the last thing that we're going to talk about here in the 80s, but the title just got me. Okay. The Superpowers Team, Galactic Guardians. What the hell? It went from 85 to 86.
They weren't guarding their colon, by the way. Let me point that out.
You don't know that. Maybe they were doing that too.
And again, they only did 8 30-minute episodes, and it ran from September 85 to October. So it didn't even have like a long run, it seems.
No, didn't. Yeah. They just kept going. I mean, it was a bunch of reruns again. This was the final version of Hanna-Barbera's Super Friends. And that's also why I stopped the list here, because I think most of us think of Hanna-Barbera with the Super Friends more than any of the stuff from the 90s that came out later, like Superman, Batman Hour, that kind of stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
The Justice League of America is now called the Superpower Teams because they were tying them in with the Superpowers collection of toys that were coming out.
Oh, okay. Yep, makes sense.
They were being produced by Kenner. So this was when, oh shit, Star Wars showed us the way. We've got to make toys for this.
That's right. Kenner was making a fortune on those.
Yep.
Right.
So there's the money.
John, they were back at the Hall of Justice, but this one was redesigned to be more like a Pentagon, and it was in Metropolis instead this time.
Huh. Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Where was the original one? Did they say what city it was in? Did they ever say?
Washington, maybe?
Huh.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Good trivia if anyone out there knows.
It was just always there. Like, I always thought Washington because they had that pool of water out front that kind of looked like
reflecting pool that you might see in DC. Oh, I gotcha. So I'm looking at your list of heroes, and it looks largely unchanged from the previous years or so.
Yeah.
Superman is still Danny Dark. We kept Adam West as Batman. Casey Kasem as Robin. Wonder Woman didn't change. Aquaman didn't change. And then we had Jack Angel doing everything. The Flash, Hawkman, Samurai. Michael Rye kept the Green Lantern. And then we added Cyborg, which, amazingly, Ernie Hudson was Cyborg.
Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah. That was my favorite inclusion into that series because he's a Teen Titan. That's where he came from. And I love Teen Titans, my favorite comic book series. Seeing Cyborg up on the TV at that point was awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. Firestorm, Mark Taylor. And then we had El Dorado still was Fernando Escandon. And now, what about the villains shift up for this one, too? I mean, it was the last Hanna-Barbera thing. What do they end up doing with villains on this one?
Yeah, so they leaned heavily into the Darkseid stuff. So this time we get Darkseid, Kalibak, Mr. Mitzelplick, and the Joker, all done by Frick Welker, decided by Rene Auberjonois, Brainiac, Stanley Ruffaroff, Lex Luthor back again. Scarecrow does an appearance in one of the episodes. But they were, because of the title of the show, they were theming this mostly that it wasn't Earthbound calamities. It was more, you know, galactically located. So you not only had Darkseid, but you had all of his demons, which are like this big list of, like an army kind of thing. So like Thanos has his army in Marvel that everybody knows now. Darkseid had his own kind of thing. It was a little weird. It wasn't super popular, and it also became the last Super Friends series in the 80s.
And you always got to look at the last season of anything and go, well, after that, it didn't get renewed again. So often that last one can be the weakest one because they're throwing stuff at the wall, trying new stuff. And if it doesn't stick, that was the kind of the last gasp. But maybe this was.
Basically.
It seems like they jumped the shark for sure.
Well, Aquaman wasn't there, so nobody could tell the shark to get out of the way. That was the problem.
They definitely kind of ran into a more modern era of children, I think, at that point. I think the kids were looking toward different things to entertain them.
All right. So none of this was stuff that I think any of us knew before we started preparing for this backtrack. George did all of this digging. So I'm most curious, George, do you have any idea what knowledge you had to eject and overwrite in order to pile all this Super Friends knowledge in your brain? Like, you lose the piano lessons?
Yeah, no, I specifically targeted memories of any time when I was less than perfect. So no memories left my brain because I've never been perfect.
Well, who wants to remember that crap? Fair enough.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for doing all the digging because we have no idea. We had no idea.
I learned so much here.
Now when I watch it, I'm going to watch it differently because I have them in my server and I'll go and watch them sometimes, but I never watch them in context of knowing like, well, this must be later in the series and they did this and that kind of thing. Man. Okay. When we get back, one more segment, we're going to each pick one favorite episode or moment from the Super Friends. Could be from any season or series to kind of talk about. So stick around. We'll be right back after this.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/Patreon.
Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman and Robin, Aquaman, Black Vulcan, Samurai, Apache Chief, El Dorado. Together they form the world's greatest force, dedicated to truth, peace, and justice for all mankind. These are the Super Friends.
Weekday mornings at 8 on KTVT, Channel 11, The Super One.
We are back, and what we have done for this segment is we have each selected one of our most memorable or favorite episodes or parts of episodes or pieces that got repurposed episodes, whatever you want to call it, from this entire, almost a decade of shows of Super Friends, which now in hindsight is maybe only 12 hours of unique footage. I'm not sure.
Really? You might watch them all in the afternoon.
Why don't we start with you? Did you have one that stuck out in your memory that you enjoyed?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, well, I had to go searching for it because I had a memory of this particular event happening. Yep. And so I started watching him until I found it, basically. And so it was first season, episode 7 or 6, depending on where you are, but it's called Too Hot to Handle. Right? And the reason why I remember this episode is that it was the first one that The Flash appeared in as a guest.
Oh, okay. Because
I thought that was the coolest thing in the world that The Flash appeared.
Because you were already a Flash fan, I'm guessing. That's why?
Oh, yeah. I was a big Flash fan.
Okay.
Him, Kid Flash, the whole thing. And just the fact that it kind of, like, you had the core people, like, oh, Superman, Batman, whatever. Oh, Flash. But the episode was actually kind of interesting that the Earth's temperature is rising and all these earthquakes, natural disasters, and Wilcox has called his Super Friends to come help. And it turns out this alien's trying to heat up the Earth to basically make it livable for his people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like terraforming almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of, and this is the funny part, because they over like industrialized their planet, the temperature on their planet dropped to 85 degrees, which is too cold for them.
Because that's how global warming works.
And so they had to find it. And I was watching this thing and I was like, and how they solve it at the end is that the Super Friends go back to their planet and fix everything. Unpollute all their water, clear their air.
Oh, they fix their planet for them, yeah, so they won't colonize us. Oh, right. How nice.
Yeah. They can't fix our planet, yeah. But they can fix theirs.
Okay.
And as watching, I was just thinking like, wow, I said, I'm trying to imagine that today, like doing that similar kind of episode today. Of course, it'd be global warming and it'd be probably flipped and all that stuff. But just the fact that like, you know, Superman could get rid of pollution by like breathing it all in and then breathing it out into the sun. I mean, it's just, it was just
blow it
crazy.
Into space, right?
So since you're a fan of the Flash, Mo, I just got to ask this question, both for the episode and for you in particular. Which Flash was in this episode and which one is your favorite? Are we talking about Barry Allen, Jay Garrick, Wally West? What are we
saying? This was Barry Allen, I think. This was the original Flash because this was like the first season.
Jay Garrick's the original Flash, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the silver helmet Flash, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, he's the first Flash that was in DC Golden Comics Age. Back in the day.
Yep. Yeah, I'm talking about modern Flash, yeah, the Flash that we know, Barry Allen.
And is he your favorite Flash?
No, actually, I was at the Golden Age one, to be quite honest. Like the whole Golden Age series. Yeah, because the Golden Age, just all of them, like Wonder Woman they did, Superman, even all of them were like, I don't know, Superman wasn't as strong in the Golden Age versions and stuff.
That's true.
It was, it was a lot more, I don't know, it was cooler. Plus, I liked his whole like helmet, you know,
wings on it
and
stuff, right?
Yeah.
That construction silver helmet thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Looked like he was
kind of cool.
He was the foreman of some construction crew.
I think I hit my lightning and then he became the Flash. But yeah, that was mine. But how about you, John? What was yours?
So I've now learned that mine took place during the Super Friends Legendary Superpowers show in 84. Before, I just thought it was part of Super Friends. But now I know. Now I know. But this was an episode that I remembered it. And like you, I'm like, what was it called? I have to go find it because I remembered watching it. And it was a zany episode. Like there were no stakes at all. It was called Mr. Mitzelplick and the Magic Lamp. So Mr. Mitzelplick, as you, I'm sure you probably know, he's basically like the Super Friends Great Gazoo from the Flintstones, right? Yeah. He's literally all he does. He's an alien. His job is just cause chaos.
Yeah.
And even like when he shows up in the episode, he's like, I can't wait to cause mischief. Like, that's your job. That's what you want. He has no motives of his own. His job is to just cause mischief is all he does. But he appears at the same time that a burglar is breaking into a museum to steal Aladdin's magic lamp. And Mr. Mitzelplick goes, aha, I'll pretend I'm the genie and grant this burglar all the wishes he wants, and makes the guy think he's telling a genie how to beat the Super Friends. But really, it's Mr. Mitzelplick who is manipulating this stupid bumbling robber who has no idea what he's doing. And ultimately, if you remember that's why he's pronounced that way. If you remember Mr. Mitzelplick, the way you defeated him, do you guys remember what you had to do?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Say his name backwards.
His name backwards, exactly. And so they wanted to break into the bank to get into the vault, and so they needed the password. And so Superman is, no problem, I will just transmit the password as his name backwards, and when he reads it, and that's what happened. He read his name backwards. Yeah. And like, did he look at it on the screen and not recognize it's his name backwards? Because that's how they always beat him. But I always, it was such a goofy, low stakes kind of, it's just a burglar and this mischief guy. And I thought he was funny. Mr. Mitzelplick was always amusing to me when I would see him. So that was the one that I most remember and will rewatch still. How about you, George? You have one?
Yeah. Season two, which I don't even remember what series that was at this point. All new Super Friends Hour, I think. It was called City in a Bottle, and it was the main segment of that hour-long episode. Remember, we talked about all the different segments in the episodes. City in a Bottle basically was these two Viking Thor-like alien guys came down to Earth, took the city that the Wonder Twins happened to be in at the time, miniaturized the city, put it in a test tube bottle kind of thing, flask, whatever you want to call it, and took it back to their planet to run experiments on.
Jeez.
Just because.
Of course, the Super Friends, they like, hey, the Wonder Twins are not answering our phone calls. We don't know what's going on, and blah, blah, blah. And then they find out about the city and alerts. And so they they go down to Cape Canaveral and
of course
they like, we need to get to this other planet. Do you have a rocket that can help us? And they're like, well, no, the only rocket we have is this one over here. And Superman's like, that's perfect. And he puts all the other heroes in it and he flies it super fast beyond the speed of light to this other planet.
He didn't need a rocket at all. He could have just taken a bus and thrown it through space.
They're all wearing their glass bubble little like mask things. They have a little calamity on the way there. They get there. They're fighting the aliens who are in the lab doing the experiment. The planet is an ice planet. On top of that, Aquaman has to commune with the ice fish, like I talked about, as they're searching for the people.
Of course.
When they finally break into the lab that the aliens are in, they have this machine that essentially 3D prints ice villain creature things that Superman just has to keep killing with his heat vision all the time. It's this crazy story. Eventually, Super Friends bring the city back, save the day, save an invasion that was going to happen, all this stuff.
Of course.
It was just something that when I was a child, I was totally enamored with. Because there's nothing in that I could relate to. Like, I'm not going to fly in space. There's not ice aliens trying to kill me. But I just remember sitting there as a very young child when this came out. I was like 6 years old when this thing came out. And I remember sitting there just mesmerized of Superman and Aquaman, Wonder Woman and Batman and Robin. And man, just like, oh, this is awesome. That I think this was my first series that I really remember. The 73 one, I don't really remember, even though it was in reruns. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember a lot about that one. This was the first one I remembered, and that's why it's my favorite episode.
Okay. Yeah. And look, you're right how they had to absolutely contort a story to have Aquaman have anything to do. It's like, space fish. There we go. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, just take him a seat.
This was the free bird episode, by the way. This is where they did that little thing.
The freezing, right? Because of the freezing things. Fourth listener, I hope this has shed some light on what the Super Friends series was like. It's way more than we could ever cover here. George, thank you for all the in-depth research and adding the layers of complexity that I had no idea. It explains why we all remember it differently, though, because we kind of we might have watched it over the span of 7 or 8 years and seen the same thing in a different context and thought it was an entirely different show. So amazing.
Yeah.
Before we leave, I want to thank another brand new Patreon supporter
that
hopped over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon, opened up his wallet and said, yes, I know you give away what you do for free, but I want to support you so you can keep doing it. And that is Justin, brand new to us. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for the pledge. Thank you for the support. You join a roster of amazing people who have supported us for a really long time for no great reason other than they're just incredibly awesome, just like you. If you would like to join Justin and this crew of folks, you can head over to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp for as little as $1 a month. You can support what we do, too. We certainly would appreciate it. That is going to wrap it up for this Backtrack edition of this show. Don't worry. We have another one coming in 2 weeks. Next week is the standard edition of our show. Until then, I'm John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, pal.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it is you, though, we all appreciate most of all. We can't wait to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Yeah. Yeah. If my audio promo for this doesn't have Super Friends music under it, just fucking fire me.
In the whole
Every once in a while, it screams. It's got to, you know. All right. I think we're good.
Awesome.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.